Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, it's been a couple of weeks now since we all discovered that none of us here in Texas were winners in the nationwide Powerball lottery. That jackpot, which was the largest in the nation's history, what was it, something like 1.6 billion with the B dollars. I never saw exactly how many millions of people bought tickets or how many millions of tickets were sold, but I heard that folks as far away as China had bought tickets. All of which reminded me that Satan is as active in China as he is here in America. Because you see, anyone who bought a ticket, and I'm sure that includes many of you, must have thought that winning that mega jackpot would somehow be of a benefit to you and to your life. That it would be a good thing, both for you and probably for your family. Maybe even a great thing. And I would venture to say that everyone who bought a ticket for that lottery prize all had those same thoughts. Which means that all of those folks, including some of you, were listening to Satan and not to God. You see, God's word is quite clear about the danger and the problems that come along with wanting money, especially money in great sums. So much so that it could put your very salvation at great risk. And thus winning that $1.6 billion jackpot, or even one-third of that, is probably about the most dangerous thing that could possibly ever happen to a person who loves Jesus. And so if folks believe that somehow winning that insanely large sum of money is going to fix something in their lives or make their lives better or easier or happier, then not only are they sorely and sadly mistaken, but they're also listening to other voices other than God's voice. Because you see, here's a trustworthy saying. God will never lead you away from salvation, and He will never lead you away from His love. But He may lead you through the valley of the shadow of death. And He may allow you to suffer. And He may even allow you to be tempted beyond that which you think you can bear. And when those times come, you may be tempted to listen to other voices. I am continually saddened when I see a person who once was an active worshiper at the church begin to listen to other voices that ultimately lead him or her away from the fellowship of Christian believers and from worship. I've seen it happen after a divorce with a person's spouse. I've seen it happen after a death in the family. I've seen it happen with those who graduate high school and with those who are struggling with their sexual identity. I've seen it when folks get involved in a new social group or when folks pick up a new hobby or activity. And I've seen it when members get angry at the pastor or angry with fellow members. Suddenly they listen to voices that tell them, you don't really need to go to church to be a Christian. God wouldn't want you to be unhappy. The Bible's outdated. Isn't meant to be taken literally in our day and age. But you see, none of that's true. And none of that should be listened to or followed. Because none of that is the voice of God. Our gospel reading today relays to us the events of the transfiguration of Jesus. Events that took place to help Peter, James, and John prepare for the crucifixion of Jesus. In the Old Testament, the man who led the Israelites out of their slavery to the Egyptians, as you all know, was Moses. And now here at the Transfiguration was Moses talking to the one who would lead all people out of their slavery to sin. Moses led the Israelites on an exodus from Egypt. This text here in Luke states that Moses and Elijah were speaking with Jesus about his departure that he was about to lead or to accomplish in Jerusalem. But the Greek word for that word departure is the word exodus. Moses and Elijah were the two men from the Old Testament who went on top of Mount Sinai to speak with God. And now here they were again on another mountain speaking with God in the person of Jesus. If you remember your Old Testament history, the man who took over for Moses was Joshua, whose name literally means the Lord saves. And the man who took over for Elijah was Elisha. Elisha is another form of the name Joshua, which means God saves. And the man who took over for John the Baptist, who was the new Elijah, and who would lead his people out of bondage from sin into the promised land of heaven through his death and his resurrection, was, of course, Jesus. And you see, Jesus is simply a translation of the Old Testament name Joshua, which means the Lord saves. Every aspect of the transfiguration event, from the mountain to the men to the cloud to the language to the clothing and the transformation of Jesus, it was all meant to show Peter, James, and John one thing, show us too. That this Jesus was, and he is, God himself in the flesh. The very same God who saved the children of Israel from Egypt. The same God who spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai and gave him the Ten Commandments. Same God who led his people through dry ground, or on dry ground, through the Red Sea and through the Jordan River, lead them into the promised land. It's the same God who fought for Elijah on Mount Carmel against the prophets of Baal, and then who escorted him into heaven in the midst of a fiery chariot. And because Jesus is that very same God, the Father tells the disciples to listen to him. And we are to listen to him too. no matter the trial, no matter the trouble, no matter the temptation. We're to listen to Him and to no one else but Him, because He alone holds our salvation in His hands. He alone has forgiven us through His death and through His resurrection. And as I said earlier, He will never lead us away from salvation, and He will never lead us away from His love. Peter didn't quite understand that. And that's when Jesus told Peter that the Son of Man must suffer and die. Peter tried to stand in His way, so much so that he took out a sword and he cut off a man's ear to try and defend Jesus. Peter was listening to the voice of Satan, not to the voice of God. Because, you see, he wanted to thwart Jesus' life-saving mission of going to the cross. And that's why Jesus even addressed Peter as Satan. But Peter would learn in time, and he would become an amazing apostle who did listen to the voice of God and listen to the voice of Jesus. Even though listening to that voice would mean that he would have to be martyred in the name of Jesus. Because he finally learned and he believed that God would never lead him away from salvation, and that he would never lead him away from his love. I hope and I pray that you might learn and you might believe that too. Although listening to God's word may sometimes be the most difficult thing to do, as other voices are calling you to do those things that seem to make more sense in the eyes of the world. Live for yourself. You know, place your own happiness as your life's goal, regardless of what it takes to achieve that happiness. Ignore your responsibilities. It doesn't matter if you waste the gifts that have been given to you. Listening to Jesus is the only thing that will lead you to heaven. It's the only thing that's going to lead you to eternal life. And it's the only thing that's going to lead you to ultimate meaning here in this life also. For you see, Jesus is God. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He is the way and the truth and the life. He is the Lamb of God and the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the light of the world and the bright morning star. He's the author of life and the captain of salvation. He's the glory of the Lord and the desire of the nations. He's the King of kings and He is the Lord of lords. And His titles and His names go on and on. Because you see, He's it, folks. He is all of it. And so in the words of His Father, listen to Him. Silence the other voices. Turn away from the world's sirens and simply listen to Him. Do that, and you and your life will be blessed. In the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.